Welcome back. Welcome back. It's midday with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And you couldn't ask for a more beautiful, a more perfect, a more crisp November 10th than you have today on this beautiful Friday. And to top it all off, people. That's right. That's right. We want Steve. Steve Rummage in the building. Brian Hall in the booth. What's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on? What's not going on? We got football this weekend. We got basketball this weekend. The Cowboys are still going to go 4-2 in a six-game stretch without Zeke Elliott. I mean, the Ric Flair documentary did great for the haters, man. Like, what do you mean? Everything's going on, man. It's a great day.
Finally got a chance to watch that last night.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Great 30 for 30.
It was great. Do you know, ESPN put out today, by the way, let's go ahead and get that out there.
I was going to say, address this right now, Steve.
ESPN said that the document averaged 1.8 million viewers, 78% higher than any other 30 for 30 in 2017.
See, that's big news. See, I'm a big 30 for 30 fan. And
me too.
I honestly don't think that there's a bad 30 for 30 out there.
I agree.
But I have to say that the Ric Flair was one of the top ones.
The only criticism I had is I think they could have broke it up. Mm-hmm. I feel like they almost put too much in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But with that being said, so now for everybody that laughs at me about being a wrestling fan, and like, oh, wrestling's not a sport. Well, you know what? It just did the highest rating on ESPN, Marcus, on ESPN.
Listen, you got me. Here's the thing, Steve. I do a token ha-ha Steve wrestling, right? And you notice I let you take it away. Every time you start discussing wrestling, I let you roll half at it. Like, there has been many old national, you know, sports commentators who have not respected what wrestling does.
Put some respect on it.
Listen, you got no argument out of me.
Kudos
at
to him.
All. Kudos to.
Kudos to just wrestling in general and 30 for 30s and everything.
You've been having a great time with the wrestling world as of late.
It's been good. It's been good. So I got a lot of things going on, man.
Yeah, but you're right. What's not going on? You actually have football, Louisville football again.
It's back.
We definitely have to talk about that. I was worried that the bye week was going to kind of take away from, you know, like that.
We're coming off such a stink.
Dude. I know. Like, just that late bye weeks. Okay. So later on in the show, we're just going to dive straight into that. What are you expecting? What are you hoping for? What is it that's going to determine if this team is invested emotionally, physically, spiritually? Are they going for the dollars? You know, like what point of the season are we psychologically with the players?
And there's a couple things that we'll talk about later too, since we're just kind of going over the full synopsis of the show, that lead me to believe they are invested, that they're ready to finish this thing out and get some wins.
That's going to be interesting. But speaking of invested people, while we appreciate your support for the evening show, the Facebook Lives, that hasn't quite sold yet. So it's not like something we have to do on a nightly basis. Our Facebook Lives in the evening are a treat. They're a gift. They are a glimpse. They are not a mandatory thing. Now, if you want to sponsor the Facebook, I mean, listen, you have nighttime Facebook Lives, and in the room you have 1,500, you know, I let you know you're interested in what we're doing. But with that being said, everybody who inboxed me, Steve, they were absolutely on the seat of their whatevers.
Yeah.
Itching to want to hear what we thought about the new news that Colin Sexton of Alabama. I'm not even going to attempt to say that name. Say that name again, Brian. No, you say that name on the air. You don't make me say that name.
I believe his name is Jumblajai.
Thanks for joining me on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
He put a B to my name, but it's Juma, J-U-M-A-J-A-H-I.
Ah, perfect. Okay. They appreciate the clarification.
Okay. Well, what I want to know is, a couple of times you have mentioned this guy's name that has something to do with that ticker tag that comes on at the bottom of the screen on ESPN. I was wondering, what is that guy's name?
His name is wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me I've been wasting my time on radio for all this time trying to give you this man's name? His name is David Scott.
Yeah, because I think it's very important. Me and some people been talking about David Scott. Been talking about some things that has been coming up that you've not talked about. And I said I was going to give this guy his name to this guy. Me and him been talking about the stuff that U of L has been going through. You know, you all the time you talk about conspiracy theories and things.
I've been known to from time to time.
Yeah, when you brought that up, trust me, it caught my attention. It really did.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. I'm here.
That's what we're trying to do, raise awareness.
Wasn't far off on the name, right?
No, it was close.
Definitely close.
That was good.
But no, things like David Scott popped to mind because while we are going to talk about the Alabama clearing of the NCAA, basically a groundbreaking situation is going on with a five-star basketball player that may or may not directly affect us. There was also the release of the Coach Pitino lawyer side of his statement.
Yeah.
And speaking of somebody like a David Scott, like a entity, if you've read Coach Pitino's rebuttal, I guess, to all yesterday's breaking news, Steve, you weren't in here, but I spent yesterday explaining to people how they say slander lawsuits are the hardest to prove.
Right.
Because you have to, you know,
it's a lot of he said, she said.
You have to prove intent.
Right.
But I told you, yesterday's dragging through the mud of Coach Pitino's image, likeness, picture, name in this entire situation may or may not be making people available for a little bit of lawsuit, you know, picking from Coach Pitino. And it sounded like in the press release statement that anyone who is deemed unnecessarily involving my name in a story in a misleading manner to, you know, to basically bring attention or slanders my name. His release was based around step one of a slander lawsuit. If you read it, I believe I have it. I will have to read the statement, you know, at some point to kind of catch people
up. To that point, I mean, raise your hand if you remember the details of Jim Larrañaga.
Oh yeah,
that was huge.
The Miami coach.
Yeah,
what was going on with that?
I mean, they actually have more reason to believe that he knew more than Coach Pitino.
He came forward saying he knew exactly he was the coach.
I mean, this man just stood up there and said, "Hey, yeah." I mean, my lawyers pretty much say that I'm coach whatever number. But, you know, hey, I'm glad they found that out. He has to say, hey, I'm glad they found that out.
So we can move on.
Hey, I'm glad somebody caught me. I'm glad somebody caught me, you know, cheating. So.
And on the back end of Coach Pitino, there's Coach Pitino that, and there's another Miami coach.
That would be like my wife walking in on me and me saying, hey, babe, I'm glad you caught this. Now let's move on with our relationship. We're going to be happier now.
Right.
We're going to be, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry to waste your time, ma'am. If you could go ahead and leave now, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think me and my wife's relationship is going to be great now.
Babe, do you care to maybe make her a parting meal or something?
See her to the door?
Yeah, you know.
Steve, stop. Why would you even joke? Why would you even bring the universal joke that every man is cringing right now they listen to this?
Because I'm very comfortable in my marriage.
Ah, that is a great thing. That is a great thing.
She makes
great
a lot of money. She makes me happy.
Right. It's a reciprocal thing.
Yeah,
you know?
So everybody's happy.
You know, she got sugar
mama. So I can make jokes like that because it's okay.
Oh, that works.
It's good.
We should all envy Steve Rummage's relationship.
Not only did I find a sugar mama, she's 7 years younger than me. That's even better. So it's like,
why did you
save
that for another day, Steve? Another conversation. But point being, people, the Coach Pitino release statement sounds a little bit like he's setting up for a counterattack to media outlets. Almost a warning shot, sort of like the FBI warning shot of we have your playbook now. Yeah. Well, his warning shot was, now we have you for slander, media outlet guy.
Yeah.
Guy who uses my name extremely, you know, egregiously for clickbait. So you have that, you know, that part of the situation. Brian Hall, I hope you were able to track down the Zapruder film, the audio Zapruder film. So people, let's take a deep breath because this is going to be a fun show, but we can't have fun until we address the elephant of all elephants in the room, bigger than the painting of the elephant that I have prominently at the foot of my bed,
wow,
which I love so much still. I don't know what you're talking about, you tasteless. But point being, people, my man Steve Rummage, you have watched, you have witnessed, you have lived, you have enjoyed, you have been a part of our rise to prominence. It's your personal, you know, a reward every time you see Steve Rummage sitting courtside at the University of Louisville. Every time you see Steve yucking it up with the athletic director, Vince Tyre. You know, every time you see Steve, you know, coming across your screen, or you see him out in public and you know he's a guy, he's working hard, he's Shepherdsville's finest, and he's working his nose to the grindstone.
Bullitt County, let's spread that.
Okay, Bullitt County's finest, you know, and we're all proud of him. We're all proud of him just grabbing the bull by the horns and making it happen. But we know sometimes
appreciate that
Steve gets kind of underappreciated. Not by me. It has been my personal fight to ensure that Steve gets all just due and appreciation whenever possible.
I want to make sure that I'm in that boat too. I appreciate Steve.
Brian does. And I appreciate him. I appreciate you guys.
Brian?
Thank you.
You will not be one to steal the deflection of this bullet right now. You will go squarely into the production.
Since I had nothing to do with this promo.
Listen, we'll hear your argument post execution. So, people, something happened that I was absolutely mortified more than the victim of this crime. A crime took place yesterday in this studio, and I'm telling you, when you hear the crime, we're all going to jointly just hold hands and have a religious ceremony on behalf of the ego of our lost Steve Rummage. Brian,
it's fair.
Take it away.
Louisville basketball is back, and your home for the most pre- and post-game analysis is with ESPN Louisville. Join Marcus Maven Sunday at 1 o'clock as he previews the Cards and George Mason. And then directly following the game, it's the Coors Light post-game show with Mark Ennis. We're the first spot in the city that will take your calls. Hear from David Padgett as well as sound from the locker room. If it's Cardinal basketball, we talk about it here on ESPN Louisville.
OMG. Now imagine this, people. This is one of those picture me rolling moments, but I didn't.
Marcus, I'm really excited for your pregame show. Steve, what are you doing on Sunday?
As am I. I'm excited about Marcus's pregame show too.
Oh, okay.
OMG. This is a total picture me rolling moment. Picture me rolling. Steve and I jointly decide. Marcus, hey, there's a void. There's a void in this market that is.
You got to go the other way.
Steve, I wasn't paying attention to that part. I was explaining what's going on.
That was driving me nuts.
Steve and I decided.
Last year.
No. Oh.
No, we're riding dirty right now.
We are riding dirty. This is Pac picture me rolling. Y'all riding dirty. So, people, imagine Steve and I find a void in the market. A void that we all know exists. But there's been nothing done about this void. And it bothers us every time we're getting ready to enjoy our favorite basketball team on our favorite day. You know, we didn't have a new, fresher perspective. No disrespect. A fresher, younger perspective for the pregame show. Steve and I put our collective heads together with management. And we say, basically, management, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
We need this spot.
We need a pregame show.
We need a pregame show. We will do all the work.
Yeah.
We will market the show. We will provide the audience. We will provide the content. We will provide everything for the pregame show. The people need it.
We'll make it difficult on ourselves to get to games.
Right. It's nice. We will actually put ourselves in a position where we'll sacrifice going to a game to make sure all the hundreds of thousands of millions of people who are either enjoying the game or have the anxiety of a pregame or are driving in their cars to the pregame, you know, or down in, you know, in Bardstown, Kentucky. Shout out to the Bardstown, Kentucky family.
Yeah.
Who are down in Bardstown just waiting for the game to come on. We gave them a pregame show. And I said, I would spend my days trying to learn how to digitally enhance a picture of Steve and I so we could have a pregame show moniker, an advertisement. Like, this was work from the ground up. And then we get through, we get through postseason bans, and we get through tournament losses, and we get through seasons, and then we get to November 2017, the 9th, I think, and the commercial gets released. Brian, play that opening of the commercial one more time.
Louisville basketball is back, and your home for the most pre- and post-game analysis is with ESPN Louisville. Join Marcus Maven Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Oh, my God, that's enough. Steve, you know I was as shocked as you were when that happened. You were on my phone before that commercial, before the sentence in that commercial was finished. My phone was live dinging on the air when that commercial was still going on.
Steve, I just want you to know that I voiced my displeasure towards who sent this off to Kansas City to get voiced yesterday for your sake.
Okay. All right.
I think you could take a guess at who it might be.
That's fair. Figure it out.
I got the most passive aggressive email from an adult male it's that message. The passive aggressive one that just, I'm disappointed, Marcus. You know, just the Coach Crum level, break your heart. Disappointed, Marcus. Why, Steve? I was just hoping I could get on the pregame show, just a mention of my name or something. Oh my goodness. How can you make this mistake, ESPN Louisville? How can you make this mistake? This pregame show absolutely kills it every year. How can you make that mistake and leave Steve Ruff? I mean, people, if you found out who was responsible for leaving Steve Ruff, would you be ready to accuse them of doing that on purpose? Is there anybody who listens to us on any kind of base, anybody who works here, anybody on this planet who doesn't know that you add Steven Rummage and Marcus Maven to the pre-game show?
Since I got my quarter zip on, I'm going to quote a guy that's been doing a lot of interviews lately. On big time interviews, on WHAS, WDRB, doing some different things.
Right.
And I'm going to say it's offensive. it's absolutely, it's offensive.
No, I mean, this, listen, let it out now. Like, don't, if you hold back on this situation, you're not going to get the proper respect next time. Like, if you can't express the disappointment in this situation.
No, I think it is a form of respect, though. I think it is a form of respect.
Oh, Mr. High Road's on his way, people.
No, I think it is a form of respect that your name was left off. You know,
explain.
I guess it's a form of flattery. You know, when somebody, when you're left out, and it's kind of like, okay,
let's not say somebody. Let's just say
I'm saying like just in general, somebody.
Take over
like,
the show for a second. I'm dying.
But you know what? I mean, it is what it is. Your name was left off the promo.
No, that's not okay, Steve.
But, you know, like I said, I take a mental note. I take a mental note of things, and I say, okay, all right.
You know, Brian.
Steve Rummage, here's the deal. Steve Rummage don't forget things, you know.
Like an elephant.
Maybe this is an elephant scenario there. But, you know, I mean, look, I think we have the ear of the people in the city, and they know what to bring.
People,
they know what you bring.
8150-93.9. 38-31-93-9 is the text line. How do you respond if you're Steve Rummage and being left off these off the pregame show that you started.
I mean, look, I don't want to take all the credit. I mean, I don't want to say.
Brian Hall, who do we have on that line? What? Because I can't hear you. Eric, thanks for joining me on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Marcus, Steve, how could this happen? I was listening to this when it first aired, and I had the same thought Steve did. What in the world is going on? Why? I was like, I was going to listen to Steve Rummage, and he wasn't there. Steve, you were being disrespected. I mean, I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but you were being disrespected, Steve, and that's not right, because you are the man of the people of Card Nation. You have the ear of the people. You are the pulse of the people, and that is just wrong what they did. Steve, I would say don't show up, but then again, I want to hear you so bad because you're one of my favorite guys from the city, you and Marcus Post. And so I hope that you would show up anyway just because I love listening to you, but if you didn't, I would not feel bad at all about it because that was just pure disrespect. That's all I got to say, guys. You got the best show in the city. Go Card.
Appreciate it, Eric.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you very much. So, hey, you know what? But that's the thing. Oh, I'll show up. Show up somewhere. Never know.
Now that we've addressed the elephant in the room, Steve.
I appreciate it.
Steve, make your money real quick.
You did such a good job at setting this up. I mean, that I really didn't have any, I really didn't have a comeback. I mean, I don't have much more to say. I mean, I let you say it. I let people say it. Let people know. So regardless, whatever. I'm moving on from the situation.
So moving on, what are we going to talk about now? Are we going to go right into the football? Are we going to talk about the Sexton situation? Now I'm back in action, people. Woo! People, I was in here struggling. I started laughing so hard, the camera went down. My wires got tangled up all crazy. Now we can go, Steve. Now 8150, 93.9 is the number. 3831, 93.9 is the text line. Steve, let's talk about this Colin Sexton situation.
Let's do it, man.
Now, can you set it up for the people of just who he is and what's going on, just to kind of refresh everybody? Five-star who turned down multiple schools.
Few schools, yeah.
Turned down everybody to go to Alabama. Not to play football, but to play basketball.
Yeah, he's five-star McDonald's All-American. He won the dunk contest. I mean, he's a small guy. I mean, you know, but he's an explosive player. He can do – actually, one of the best videos of Brian Bowen right now on YouTube is an AAU game where him and Colin Sexton go back and forth at each other. Of course, I think they're not so much guarding each other.
Right.
But it's an incredible thing. I mean, Sexton can play. He's really good. At Alabama, which obviously raises some eyebrows, Colin Sexton, John Petty, two five-star players, went to Alabama to play. Alabama holds him out of an exhibition game on Monday, Tuesday.
Recently,
this week. Pull him out of an exhibition
game. Yesterday, actually.
Say, hey, there's questions about his eligibility. So immediately, you know what I say and what I think most people say. I mean, he's done. Like, you know, you won't see Colin Sexton, you know, again for the rest of the season, right. Obviously.
Right, because along with everybody else, just under the newer investigations.
Because the next day after they announced that, it's released, and we kind of knew it, but it was kind of made official. He is being held out in regards to the FBI probe.
Right.
With connections to Christian Dawkins and some of the,
right.
Yeah.
No, so let's just say it. Dead center, if you're connected to Christian Dawkins, that means you're dead center, yeah. Ground zero, exhibit A of the FBI investigation.
Now here's the thing. Colin Sexton's dad, there were meetings between an Alabama employee and some different ones that were involved in this, okay? So the story's a little bit different from Brian Bowen, and we'll go over that story here in just a second with Colin Sexton. But the point is, his dad had contact with people about Colin Sexton signing with a certain advisor, money manager, once he got into the NBA. Again, kind of what you hear with the Bowen thing.
A level one NCAA violation. Money exchange is just as bad as promises to sign with an agent for commitment to a university, Steve. Like, I know what you're trying to show exactly where, you know, the small differences it are, but I'm one to focus on the rule book that's given to us, the rule book that says promises are just as bad as giving money to itself. Because if you promise me you're going to give me $1 million or you promise me a situation, I can spend my money now much more freely.
Right.
If I know that at the end of, you know, the year, you have a $100,000 check waiting for me to sign with you, no matter what happens this year, I can clean out my entire bank account. So I really have the money that you gave me, right?
Yes.
So that's why the NCAA sees promises, you know, as the same as payments.
Colin Sexton. So with all that happening, you read the things, you read what's went on, you say, well, Sexton's probably gone, most likely.
He's done because they have conversations of him making commitments to basically agree to representation.
So let me read the statement from Alabama athletic director.
People, pay attention and turn up the volume.
Colin Sexton will set out a Friday's season opener against Memphis to serve a one-game suspension for a violation of NCAA rules. He will be eligible for competition in the team's home opener on Tuesday versus Lipscomb. We appreciate the NCAA's efforts to reach a timely resolution of his eligibility.
OMG, people. If that wasn't the buddy-buddiest, friendliest agreement between State School Alabama and the expedited decision partnership of the NCAA, I can't come up. Steve, I keep saying this. You can't make this stuff up, people. Because you know what Louisville fan says, speaking of conspiracy theory? You know what they say? Oh, if it had been a state school like Alabama or Arizona, this thing will be cleaned up and handled right away. Oh, no, Marcus, Steve. It has nothing to do with the state politics. It has nothing to do. How does a guy whose eligibility is in question through an FBI investigation and the star, not witness, the star, what do we call Christian Dawkins? The star what? The star snitch. The informant.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
The star rat of the whole FBI investigation. You have his wiretaps. You have his arrangements with Christian Dawkins' dad, the family. Like, you have everything that makes a case, especially to the NCAA, right? Because FBI is looking for legalities. He has the stuff that gets you put out of the NCAA for life.
Yeah, but the thing is with me, though, for this story, it's layers. Because, and now I have to look back at administration and say, okay, if you haven't already contacted the NCAA.
Right.
About.
Give us a number.
And let me say this, because I think you need to preface it with this. We don't know at this moment if the University of Louisville has contacted the NCAA about Brian Bowen's reinstatement.
Is that a problem in itself right now? Transparency is the most important keyword that we have heard in the ousting of the previous regime.
Absolutely.
And the promises of the new regime. No new taxes, right? And transparency.
Well, no, absolutely. Now, my biggest plea would be, if you haven't, then you need to now. You need to at this moment.
Right now.
Because right now, it looks like the NCAA is clearing these kids. It's giving you eligibility. So if you haven't already contacted the NCAA, that needs to be done yesterday.
Yesterday. No, absolutely. Because the moment you clear a Georgia Tech, the moment you start handing out these numbers, and what I mean these numbers, these suspension game numbers, and you know that your situation falls 100% And in line with these other situations, again, we always run into this problem where somebody says, oh, well, this one's different because it. No, no, no. These are the same level infractions, right? And we're not talking about probation and changing the rules for this individual case for this kid because, you know, the punishments have already been levied. So and Bowen, these things are concerning his eligibility.
Yeah.
Pre-University of Louisville.
Right.
Right. So right now, if you haven't taken Colin Sexton's case and said if he got this with a promise to sign or whatever his details are, then Brian Bowen, you know, he needs to be given a number.
Right.
In 48 hours.
Yeah, like quickly. Now, and that's the thing. If you have already went to the NCAA as the University of Louisville, then I'm demanding some answers.
Transparency again. I mean, okay, do you think the fan base, the community, deserves to know that a motion has been filed on behalf of Brian Bowen?
As far as we know right now, Marcus, we don't even know if Brian Bowen has been declared ineligible.
Right.
That's still unknown. For what we know right now. Now, of course, we assume there
would be. Is
that
our job as the media to I mean, of course, I have a little too much player in me to hey, Coach Badger, you working on his eligibility? You know, like, it's not my question.
Right.
But do open
records. I don't think he can answer that.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. But do open records requests, during university requests, can you ask the question, hey, what is the deal concerning his eligibility? Is that a Vince Tyree? You know,
yes.
That's a get ready because your bag is going to be full.
That's a Vince Tyree question, I think, at this point. That would just be what's
the protocol? What's just the procedure?
What are we doing?
Is something filed
on
behalf? Is
he eligible? Is he not eligible? Because as far as we know as a fan base right now, he was just suspended by the university. That's all we know. Now, do I assume there's eligibility issues there? Yes, I do. But I haven't been told anything. I don't know. As far as I know, you're just holding Brian Bowen out. For all I know, the NCAA is saying, no, we're not investigating it because the FBI did. We didn't find nothing. He's good. Why? Like, I don't know.
So we're basically, are we determining that minus the suspension or whatever, the decision on suspension, he should be eligible to play right now?
Well, this is the uncomfortable question then for a lot of people is now you start to ask, are you going to go to bat for him or is it a better look if he don't play? Are you worried about, I mean, these are honest questions that I think is fair to ask. With this isn't criticism. I'm not even criticizing. I'm curious.
Right, right.
Are you just not going to bat because it's going to look worse
because
if he plays?
Yes, because a Vince Tyree without batting an eyelash can sit in this chair right now in this studio, look at us and say, Marcus, right now, we as a university have decided the best thing to do is to move on from the Brian Bowen situation. We have, you know, our goal has been to, you know, remove ourselves or distance ourselves. I mean, listen, I'm going to get a call right there that says, hey, I don't think you're being fair to the kid by distancing yourself. But it's like the Damian Lee, Trey Lewis situation. I mean, sometimes the greater good is to distance. Now, whether you agree or not about the distancing, that's fine. Leadership has to make very tough, very unpopular, rough decisions. But the transparency is the scariest part that I need. That I need to know that our relationship, and I say our relationship, fan base, you know what I'm saying, lifeblood, you know, of sports here, has a plan in place, a procedure, and an explanation to a strategy.
Yes.
Moving forward. Right now, it seems like new hires, fires, no strategy. You know, where are the strengths? Like, give me structure, and then I can feel comfortable talking about Virginia and Louisville instead of, you know, who's going to bat for you.
Right. Because if that statement was made, that, hey, we just feel right now it's just best to move on. And we don't want to mess with it. We don't want to.
Yeah, don't subtweet me with the removal of banners and the removal of imagery around campus. Like, don't do that to me.
Right. That would, now let me tell you, just to make your point here, my personal Steve Rummage would say, well, I don't agree with that because I think that the image would be repaired better by having a winning program and doing and playing. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I really do.
People, did you hear what he said? And he was dead serious. Steve Rummage was like, well, yeah, I don't. You know how people bring in the kids argument? He was like, well, winning is nothing's more embarrassing than losing to the program, people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like,
I know. I was giving you a hard time about that.
I would rather win but move on.
But fighting for his eligibility and winning.
But I would also say, well, at least there's something. There's some finality there. Okay, I get it.
Right.
I get it because at least then I feel like, okay, maybe you got a plan. Like, but right now, I don't know anything.
But and see, here's the thing. If you were in a situation where keeping your plan private was beneficial, it would be okay. But when you have regime changes, you're not in a position to talk, to do strategy and, hey, don't worry about it. We got your best interest. You know, like, this is not, there's not that much of a trust, a community university trust relationship to just say, hey, this new board is great. You know, hey, everybody is in great positions, you know, especially when, of course, you know, all your social media support is coming from a lot of times rival fan bases.
Right.
Oh, you have great people in place now. Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. You know?
Yes.
But again, I'm starting to, you know, just question how much responsibility is it to give us some kind of weekly update, some kind of public statement on the Bowen situation, on the plan moving forward, just a general plan of action for the University of Louisville and its program. Because at the end of the day, I'm still digging into my pocket, theoretically,
yeah,
to pay to go to the Yum Center, to pay for parking, to pay for, you know, support, to pay for field hockey and soccer and tennis, lacrosse. I'm still digging into my pocket every single day with the trust.
Right.
And nothing with trust and entertainment of a sport. But again, when you're this much of a fan base, you're personally invested more than just, I like to go watch the team that wears the red and, you know, the Cardinal uniform. So public accountability is important.
No, I agree. Well, and like I said, especially when that was a big topic. That was a big topic of conversation, was transparency and different things. So
Right. That was a topic that, so you know the importance of transparency.
But back to the whole point, you do have a
It's not coming up, Brian, so.
You do have a case now with the Colin Sexton thing. I mean, you do have precedent here with the Colin Sexton thing.
An obvious example.
Now, and they are two different scenarios. I understand that, but they're under the same umbrella.
Level one violation scenario. Jeff, thanks for joining us on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus. Hey, Steve. Got a statement about the Bowen situation, then I got a conspiracy theory I'd like to present to you all.
Fire
away. But the Bowen theory, I think that they must be going to move in or try for this kid, because if they hadn't, you would think the lawyer would have been told and the kid wouldn't have enrolled already for the spring. So I don't think that – I would hope Louisville wouldn't do that to them, keep the kid's hope up and not even try for him. I would think – and I would think that if they did say they were going to fight for him, I don't think he could go to another NCAA school. So I would think there would be a big lawsuit that he could put against the University of Louisville. And I think we've already paid enough out on Jerry Cipitino to have to pay another one out on Bowen. What's your feelings on that? And then I got a conspiracy theory I want to ask you.
Okay, you can fire away with the conspiracy theory, the other question.
Okay.
The other
one I have involves UK and this kid Vanderbilt. I think it's kind of weird that right after this happened with the FBI, that Vanderbilt got hurt and was pulled out. And then they talked about he wouldn't be able to play until sometime in January, if by then. And then it came out that he might be out the whole year. And now, all of a sudden, some miraculous thing happened where he might be back by the end of this month. And, you know, and that he's going through workouts and stuff like that. So I want to ask you all about the conspiracy theory there. Don't you think it could be something they pulled him out for a reason? concerning the FBI and some money situation or whatever thing. But that's my conspiracy theory there, and I like to listen to all what y'all have to say. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, Jeff. I not only do I appreciate the call, that call saddens me. That call saddens me as an intelligent citizen of the world, right? The fact that we have to even call that a conspiracy theory is sad. Something can happen in front of your face so obvious, there's still, there could be the smoking gun, A plus B plus C, right? Like, you can see it unfold, but because you can't arrest someone for it, you have to call it a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, but the one thing I look.
That's a theory. That's still a theory.
Theories, yeah. But like, the one thing I don't do is, I don't care even if they do play for Kentucky. I'm like, I ain't gonna question if the kid's hurt or not, because the kid,
right.
You know, like he's a competitor and he wants to play.
But those around him are in control.
Maybe that's what I would say.
That makes for good conversation.
I wouldn't be shocked to see a few players around the country take random injuries. I think you've seen it at Louisville to an extent.
And when things clear up, random injuries speed up.
Well, and whether this happened or not, but I mean, the same could have been said last year. I think a lot of people scratched their head when Mango wasn't playing.
Indeed.
I mean, they did. So, I mean, I'm not saying I did. I'm not saying that there's any validity to that. I'm just saying that you could do that. So, like, I don't throw too many stones on that one.
Here's what the problem is with the first part of your question, Jeff. When you talk about the school's decision or Bowen's decision to be here trying to get in school, enrolling in spring classes, here's what you don't want to happen, people. If somebody gets a hold of Brian Bowen, and there has not been a full amount of communication between Brian Bowen, his family, and the school, when somebody swoops in from ESPN and sits Brian Bowen in front of a camera, in front of a national audience, and he tells his side of the story, and he says, well, then they brought in this board of trustees that I didn't know, and a new athletic director that I don't really know. And the only person I really knew is Coach Pitino, and I wanted to play for Coach Pitino, but they just swept out everybody, and nobody's answering my phone calls, and there's no communication. Can you imagine? Because here's what people can't argue, and this is kind of a funny, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, of appreciation that America has. For the spirit of Louisville. Ha, 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 strippers, ha, ha, right? Ha, ha, Pitino, ha, 100,000, you know? But everybody all thinks this stuff goes on all the time. That's why it's so easy to believe. That's why it's so tangible. That's why it's so, of course he's paying money. You know, every right. part of America, there's a ha, ha, but there, you know what there is? It's a greased, you know, pitch.
Yeah.
It's a dirty substance on the hat, and you got caught. Every time we see a pitcher get caught with that substance on his hat, you know?
Yeah.
We say, look at this piece of crap out here rubbing, you know, icy hot on the baseball. Ha, ha, ha. That's why that ball sinks like that, you know, when he's pitching, you know? But it's always a ha, ha moment to it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's doing with Louisville. But you still respect them because you're like, boy, they go hard for that basketball program, that football program. They win in a lot of sports. Even if you think there's a, like I said, there's a substance on the hat every time you pitch, every time, everything you do, you know, deflating football, whatever you think, there's still a respect for Belichick and Tom Brady. Whether you cheat or not, it's still you're a piece of crap. You do get it done, though, right?
Yeah.
Now you have that on your, you have that respect on your side, but I'm telling you, my goodness, the day you get Brian Bowen on there with somebody with a nice grilling agenda and say, wait a minute. So after the FBI, you know, story comes out, you mean to tell me you got no communication between Rick Pitino since then? Yeah, they told me, you know, Rick said he left me a message and said he wasn't allowed to communicate with me during this process. So who did you call next? Well, you know, They said Tom Jurich had just been relieved, so I couldn't call him. I had his number before. And then what? And then I called the assistant coaches, and they said Jordan Fair and somebody else could not have any communication. So what did you do? I just went to this local gym up the street, and I just shot basketball all day until my knees were weak, you know, and I just went home and I went to bed. So then what? So then they knocked on my door and told me I had to move out of the dorms. My God.
Yeah.
Those animals.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And okay, so you went to go meet the Board of Trustees or the ULAA at the university, and, well, they told me that I needed to fill out a petition. You know, what position was, I don't know, it was like 60 pages, it was a book, and they just said I need to get a lawyer, but I couldn't afford a lawyer, so, you know, I asked, you know, so-and-so about getting a lawyer to fill out this petition with, so then what, you know, I submitted it, and I haven't, you okay over there, Steve? Was my scenario that bad, Steve?
I was trying to. Oh my gosh! No, I was trying to get out to call.
Right, so I'm just walking you through an interview, right?
Yeah.
That will be had.
Right.
If Louisville doesn't wrap their arms around this man right now, there's this interview that will be had that will say you weren't trying to cheat for the winning of the program. You dirty Louisville people.
Yeah.
You were just trying to use sports to make a bunch of money and run.
Right.
And all this fighting and infighting, we respected it because it was over sports. But now when Bowen goes on those interviews and starts making it sound like they used him, used his signature, everybody got paid and they booted him, that's when the NCAA can quadruple him.
Yeah.
Because they can say you cheated, you know, and I'm talking about the vibe, the mental appreciation for the situation, the vibe you can say to these to the school, you've done everything wrong by the school,
yeah,
by the coach. They can even start throwing the Tom Jurich, Rick Pitino. You know what? You illegally fired Jurich and Pitino as well. Like that's how much the roles can reverse for you. You illegally fired Pitino. You illegally fired Bo. You did not protect. We, as the NCAA, we care about the athletes. We care about the athletes' betterment. So now they can wrap their hands around Jurich, around Rick, around Bowen, around everybody, and just say that organization is crapola.
Long story short, you're better off fighting for Brian Bowen to be eligible. I mean that's what you're saying. I mean, and I agree. And when you break it down the way you do right there, I mean, that puts it into even more perspective that you.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful about talk. Like I said, the jilted lover, you know, the jilted attempted lover and Bowen and his family, you know. Like I said, this is a public relations battle. This is not an eligibility battle. The team is going to be good or bad on their own.
Yeah.
Like Bowen, like Coach Padgett is going to be a good coach either now or next year or the year after. He's going to be a great coach. Bowen is a difference maker, game changer, yes, and you still could lose in the first round.
Yeah.
With a Bowen.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is your program, your sports are still your sports. Your basketball still your best. Your football still your football. But the public relations battle, you wanting to get Rick Pitino to bear the cross can easily turn into the university.
Yes.
Bearing the cross of all things wrong.
Yes.
And you're dangerously close to that. If Brian Bowen if he decides college is not going to happen, and he takes a payment to do that interview, my God, can you imagine him being the center of all this and he's feeling some kind of way, a negative way towards who's in charge right now?
And you've seen, let's go back to the Hooker thing, you've seen nationally what they will turn Kidd into, because you made that point so good. We talked about that on the show, that when they would talk about these kids. And
oh, my God. He was in an uncomfortable environment.
You just seen these little bitty kids.
These scrawny kids being peer pressured into.
While we use that as, hey, you're using that against us, watch how quick they turn Bowen into, Brian. You know, God bless him, little Brian. Like, I mean, they'll do it quick. They'll do it real quick. Because that's a story.
At no point during any of that story or any of any stories have they said the 6'10", 260-pound, 2% body fat, Mango Mathiang, you know?
Yeah.
No, he was a college student and he was being influenced by that mean old, nasty Andre McGee. You know?
Yeah.
And
McGee's 5'8".
Mango could crush McGee's head like a watermelon.
It's so
right.
But
imagery is important.
No, I agree.
Imagery is very important.
So we'll see what happens.
I'm sorry. Was that just an entire hour of us just getting warmed up?
Yes. I don't feel like we actually ever got into the subjects.
Good thing we have DFH, people. Go visit DFHcompany.com. 968-6222. I did that off the dome. Mitsubishi Ductless Mini Split by Mitsubishi Electric. Again, it's at DFHcompany.com. 968-6222. Midday with Marcus Maben.
Let's talk some football.
50-93-9. The number on 93.9 The Ville.